So that piece that you just shared of it's not about the food, that is where I try to help my clients get to, that they can discover what is it really for me, because they do. They come and they say, here's my weight loss goal, and here's what I'm doing about it, and it's not working. Tell me how to fix this. And so one of the things that I help my clients do is to actually let go of their weight loss goal.
This is the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast, and I'm your host, Maya Acosta. If you're willing to go with me, together we can discover how simple lifestyle choices can help improve our quality of life. Let's get started. So my next guest is the author of the book, If Diets Don't Work, What Does? It offers a healthy approach towards creating habits that work while setting aside the weight loss goal. Danielle Dinkelman loves helping women turn their health around so that they can fully show up for themselves, their families, and their communities. She's the mother of four, a plant-based nutrition educator, and National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach. As always, the full bio and the links for each of my guests can be found on the website, healthylifestylesolutions.org. Enjoy. Welcome, Danielle.
Thank you, Maya. It's so good to be here again.
Right. We should say that you have been on our show before. And I asked you, you know, I wanted you to come back and share with our new listeners about this topic that is so prevalent in our society today. It's so normal for people to diet. And you and I had this conversation where we both in our past have battled with dieting. So let's start with your own story and what that has been like for you. Where are you today with your own kind of overcoming this diet culture?
Yeah, thank you. So my experience with diet culture is a little bit as an outsider looking in, watching the women closest to me growing up, my friends, my family, really fall victim to diet culture and get onto these yo-yos. I kind of picture it like a hamster wheel that they just aren't able to get off of, and it never really got them anywhere permanently, sustainably. And it was hard for me to watch because I cared about these women, I cared about these people deeply, and they were not becoming healthier or happier for doing these things. So when I started my coaching practice in 2017, I really started asking myself that question of how do I help people stop dieting and start just embracing a healthy lifestyle, something they can sustain for the rest of their lives, and that's not drudgery. I wanted to find that happy, healthy normal that we could introduce to women.
And I've said in my own past, not only did I fear gaining weight, so that's how I started with restricting. I saw my mother, you know, always having some sort of gimmick to losing weight. Can we start by defining what is diet culture?
I wish I had a perfect little soundbite for you there, but I'll paint some pictures for you. To me, anything that makes us focus, hyper-focused on weight loss at the expense of our happiness and our balance is diet culture. So anything that puts us in this hyper-vigilance is diet culture. Anything that shames our bodies, anything that gives our power away of thinking that someone else has the answer for me, someone else knows what my body needs, and giving that power away and just signing up for program after program after program.
It's this obsession with weight loss and also this idea that being thin equals, you know, not only being healthy, but being accepted. And we shame everyone else that is not fitting this ideal, right?
Yes. In my book that you mentioned, one of the first chapters, I go into all of the mindsets that come with diet culture. And one of them that made me think of as you were just sharing that is this finish line mentality, believing that I'll be happy when I can fit into that size dress, when I have a flat stomach, when whatever, fill in the blank with what you have started to obsess over. That is diet culture. That is not going to work if we want to embrace a healthy lifestyle. there's no finish line for healthy lifestyle. There's cruising altitude, there's maintenance, but it's always these fine adjustments. We're always being mindful of what does my body need? How am I feeling? What do I need to do next?
I don't know if you're aware of the Macy campaign that was sort of, shaming women about the jean sizes that they would end up wearing. They got rid of it after they were heavily criticized, but they had in their, I believe, jean department, two different types of plates. And one of them, they were basically about portion controlling. So if you wanted to fit into the smaller jeans, you would, you know, eat using the small plate. And if you wanted to fit into the mother jeans, you would eat from a larger plate, basically shaming you where you will end up if you're eating from a regular size plate. And it is a regular size plate. And they did the same thing with wine glasses, where if you had half a glass of wine, that would be fine. But if you had a full glass of wine, then you would end up in the larger size jeans. And this is part of that whole diet culture that we are constantly having women obsess about how they should feel about themselves. And this is all marketing, right? This is encouraged so that we can feel awful about ourselves and then purchase more products.
That's exactly what it is. Yes, it serves the industry very well. If we are in a constant state of not believing that we are there yet, and as long as we feel like we're not there yet, we're going to still need to purchase products. Oh yeah, that makes my skin crawl. I had not heard about that. And if you were trying to get me fired up, that worked.
Triggering. And so what I was saying to you was, like, in preparation for this conversation, I was looking up videos on diet culture, because I feel sometimes that I live in a little bubble and I'm not aware of what's happening in the larger world, which is why I want to continue to talk about this topic. The YouTube video influencers that make these what I eat in a day videos, I watch them because I love food and I just want to see what people typically eat. But most of the time I'm left in shock when I think to myself, is that really all you eat in a day? I mean, you and I know that in this lifestyle that we've adopted of a whole food plant-based diet, we do not at all focus on restriction or calorie counting.
Yes. We could talk for the whole next hour on this alone. We could go to town on this. I agree with you that the idea is not restriction. I did a video on my YouTube channel. It's called How to Eat Better, Not Less. Okay. So yes, very often, especially people that are new to plant-based eating that call me, start working with me, they're focused on, well, I'm not overeating and I'm controlling my portions and all of this talk that really doesn't apply once we adopt a whole food plant-based perspective with our nutrition. Because we are already eliminating or minimizing this high calorie density food in the form of the animal products and the processed foods and the oils, right? Once you do that, you actually will find that you need to be eating more frequently, maybe larger portions, because you're eating different than you did before. So that's very important for people to understand. As far as the what I eat in a day, the biggest problem I see with that goes back to this idea of giving our power away. Okay, so all of us can kind of put some goggles, a new lens on, and watch out for things that make you think, oh, I'm supposed to be doing it that way. Or, oh, she does it that way, so I should do it that way too. Please, when we come into information, we need to put it through our own personal filter and ask our bodies and ask our intuition, is that something that would support me? Is that something that would be good for me? And your body will tell you, especially if you ask it more often, you will get this gut feeling of, yeah, I like that idea. Or you will get this almost this cringe feeling of, no, that wouldn't work for me. That's not what I need. I don't need less. I actually need more. I'm starving. Please nourish me.
Right.
And then one last thing I'll say, is when we do, when we are so focused on eating less and less and less, what we can actually run into is over-restricting calories without intending it. And what that will do, especially if you are a chronic dieter, have been a chronic dieter, it can really mess up your metabolism and you will actually start to gain weight. I would say 50% of my clientele have struggled with this. They say, I'm doing it perfectly. Why am I gaining weight? And I have them tell me what a day in the life looks like for them. And it's not enough calories. They are really putting their bodies in survival mode and their body is responding by keeping them alive and doing the one thing that it knows how to do, which is pack on the emergency supply because they're not sure when their next meal is going to come. So we have to be aware of some of those biological responses, even though diet culture and the health and wellness and fitness industry want us to believe that less calories is always a good thing. It's not. It can be the exact opposite of what you want.
I recall saying multiple times that I healed my relationship with food. And then it dawned on me, it's not about the food. It is not about the food. It's about everything else. It's about trying to control something. It's about having pain inside and other issues that I have battled with in my entire life, trauma. And so numbing myself by restricting was what worked for me. And so it really wasn't about the food. So I'd love for you to share, talk about all those things with the women that are listening today. But the first question to kind of get us started to how you work with clients is, if you can tell us, what is the hardest thing that most of your clients deal with?
So that piece that you just shared of it's not about the food, that is where I try to help my clients get to, that they can discover what is it really for me, because they do. They come and they say, here's my weight loss goal, and here's what I'm doing about it, and it's not working. Tell me how to fix this. And so one of the things that I help my clients do is to actually let go of their weight loss goal. And as you said, I echo and I agree with everything you said a moment ago, that it's not about swinging to the other extreme either, where we say, I'm going to love and accept my body as it is, even if I am overweight or obese. I'm saying, yes, do that. And really, truly check in with yourself. How do you feel otherwise? Do you have aches and pains? Is your digestion comfortable and healthy? Is your energy level where you want it to be? So the main thing that I help my clients do is to zoom out and to look at non-scale goals, non-scale feedback about their health, their current state of wellness. And more often than not, there's multiple things that they've got on their radar that is connected and related to their weight. But by focusing on weight, we may not get very far. But if I focus on the behaviors, the habits, the lifestyle that would help them feel better, have better energy, have less pain, right? This is where plant-based nutrition is a fantastic tool that I use with my clientele. If I can have them focus more on health and wellness and just feeling good in their body, and loving and accepting their body as it is right now as well, the weight loss takes care of itself. We can literally say, we're going to take that weight loss goal, we're going to put it in a cute little shoebox, and we're just going to put it up on the shelf. And we're just going to turn our attention over here and say, yeah, gosh, I want to be active. I want to have higher energy, so I want more fruits and vegetables. I want to feel full and satisfied, so I'm going to make sure I have the right amount of starches, those rice and beans and potatoes, in their whole natural state. So, and then of course, it's all the other pieces, like the drinking enough water and moving more in a way that you enjoy and managing your stress. We could do a whole tangent on that of emotional eating. More often than not, if you struggle with weight, there is an emotional eating aspect to it. And I've helped a lot of clients get through that. get on the other side.
Must be tough, though, for them to not step on the scale every day. Would you say so?
Oh, goodness, yes. Old habits die hard. I've been known to say, you know, if I could sneak into all of my clients' homes across the country, I've had some international clients, so I don't know how I would do this, but I would. And if I could, I would take all of their scales and throw them in the garbage, because it doesn't support that shift that they need to make. They've created almost an obsessive relationship with that scale. And again, we're giving our power away. We're saying, I'll be happy if the number on the scale goes down. But if I get on that scale and it's the same or it's higher, it's a bad day. What a crappy way to live your life. What an unfulfilling way. And I don't say that from a shaming point, but from a, that's not okay. Like, you don't want that. I don't want that. And yet we feel like we have to. We feel like if I'm not hypervigilant, if I'm not watching that, then I'm not trying.
Yes. I feel like if I were new to this program, for example, that I would have to do a lot of meditation and a lot of relaxing to not, to have faith that I do not have to step on the scale. There was someone that spoke about the diet culture being very similar to a fish in water who doesn't even realize it's in water because it's completely surrounded by water. And so diet culture is very much like that. So we may say, for example, don't focus on weight, don't focus on the numbers. And then the individual goes into, say, an apparel store and is faced with numbers there.
Absolutely.
While we're working on trying to heal from the diet culture, our surroundings are constantly messing with us. And it's like, we just have to unplug from that, don't we?
Yes. Yes. I've had clients that, you know, they start to work with me. I'm thinking of one in particular, and she was doing so well. She of just shifting her mindset and saying, I'm not going to focus on weight. I'm not going to weigh myself. I'm just going to focus on doing what I know will help me feel good each day, and not like good in that I can pat myself on the back and say, oh, I was a good girl today. Not that kind of good, like good in your body, the energy that you feel, the positivity that you feel inherently. She was focused on that. We talked a month later and she said, Danielle, my neighbor started a new diet and she has already lost weight. And she was just in this spiral of, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Should I be doing what she's doing? Should I try something else? Should I be more perfect? Should I try harder? Should I be losing weight faster? And I just said, stop, time out, take a breath. And we have to go back to why we started approaching it differently. And we have to go back to our own stories of, has this ever actually brought me more health and happiness? And the answer is no. So why do we keep wanting to go back to this old pattern? Because we are a fish swimming in water, and the water is diet culture. So we have to recognize it, eyes wide open, and whether you say it out loud or you tell your health coach or you write it down, journal about it, identify it when you see it. I've had other clients that have gotten on calls with me and said, Danielle, I was going to start this program or that jumpstart or this thing, but then I realized it was triggering my diet culture response. So I'm now thinking maybe that's not the best thing for me right now. Okay. There can be things and programs and ideas and protocols out there that can be extremely helpful. They have healed many, many people, especially when you're focused on a whole food plant-based approach. But when you have somebody that is a recovering dieter, they can bring their mental, I want to say baggage. I'm sure there's a nicer way to say that, but our old mindsets with us, and then we can take things to extremes without realizing it. So we have to be careful and just notice our own diet culture triggers, and then ask yourself, how can I approach this in a way that it's focused more on health, not on weight loss? How can I focus on putting it through my own personal filter of what I think and feel is best for my body right now? And it's not, as long as you are keeping that power in your court and you are making that personal decision step by step, these programs can be very helpful. But we have to be self-aware enough and eyes open enough about the diet culture triggers that we have.
Let's talk about your program. So your book itself, If Diets Don't Work, What Does, comes with an actual toolkit where you offer journals and videos to support the individual. So, but you also coach, you personally coach individuals. So let's talk about what that looks like. And I may add that one of the reasons why I love working with transformational health coach is because, like what you were describing, you help people get to the root of the issue and not so much focus on the outer. So it sounds like there's some truly inner healing that happens as a result. And it also sounds through the journaling process that you're helping people to discover what are those thoughts and mindsets and programmings that they have already had in place that are contributing to their diet mentality.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. I like to say that my style of health and wellness coaching is from the inside out. When most people think of a health coach, they picture someone that's going to be kind of on their case telling them, oh, no, you messed up. You did it wrong. You've got to be eating this way. Or, oh, that's too bad. You didn't exercise like you said you would. What are you going to do better next time? It's almost like this punitive relationship. And most health coaches, especially the ones that have been through the same training that I have, that is not the way that it is at all. True coaching is going to come side by side with you, and it is going to kind of pop the hood. And yeah, we want to see and understand what's going on under the surface more than changing the behavior from the outside in. We want to go from the inside out. So yes, the book is a fantastic tool if you would like to try to self-coach and I actually love having my clients start with the book and let them step into their own voice and their own authority about what they think their next steps could be. I cover 5 areas in the book. We cover nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress management, and mindset. And of those 5 areas, I tell people, don't try to work on all 5 of them at once. Pick one, pick 2, pick one small little habit that you want to create in each area, but do it one little bit at a time. So what you see in the book is a beautiful mirror of the type of coaching that I do. It's very exploratory. A lot of my coaching calls look like me asking open-ended questions and allowing the client to kind of explore where they've been with something, whether it's exercise or nutrition or whatever it be. So yes, I work primarily with one-on-one, primarily women. And I love helping people that have explored whole food plant-based nutrition, but have kind of hit the wall with it. Maybe it went well for a little while, and then it stopped working. Their body stopped responding. And I have a lot of experience around what is going on that we need to adjust and open that up and help that work better for their bodies.
I'm curious to know, what is some of that self-talk that your clients share with you?
I am constantly helping them reframe language in our conversations. And it's fun. It's a fun process to have them try to think differently and try to speak differently. Sometimes when we're trying to think differently, it's a good idea to start with speaking. It's easier to control what we say. And that can sometimes go back to what we think. So one of them, when someone will get on a call and I will ask, how's this week gone? Or how has this month gone for you? They will start out by saying, oh, I was really bad this week. I was really bad this week. Okay. So that's some diet culture language that I say, are you open to a new way of framing that? And usually they don't really realize that it needs reframing. And so we talk about it. And we talk about how, does it make you bad that you didn't eat the way that you wanted to this week? So we explore this. So any language that, again, gives our power away. So saying, I can't have that. or I shouldn't have that, or I fell off the bandwagon. I do not like that one. There's no bandwagon. There's just you navigating what your body wants and needs. So bringing it back to a place of, that's not what I want to be eating. Or I don't feel good when I eat that. I feel really good when I eat this. Reconnecting with our own body's responses and with our choices, not giving that away to someone else.
Also, I'm wondering if you hear from your clients about what it's like to live in a household where someone may be focusing on their way of eating. So, for example, if a significant other says, "So, are you eating again? Why are you back in the kitchen? Why are you, opening the refrigerator door?" And just those kind of comments, I'm sure, could also affect an individual, especially when they're trying to recover from this obsession, right?
Ooh, yeah, that one makes me need to take a really deep cleansing breath. We definitely, in my coaching, I try to be aware of who else is in their circle, right? Who's in their home? Who are they interacting with on a regular basis? And I try to ascertain if those people are supportive or if they are, sometimes, unfortunately, they can be undermining, they can be unsupportive to the shifts that my clients are trying to make. So I try to coach my clients through, having good boundaries and speaking up for themselves when they need to say, "Hun, I know when I used to diet a lot, I would welcome you to be on my case about this, but I'm trying a different approach now. And I'm eating when I'm hungry because I'm eating different types of foods now. I'm eating whole foods that I am learning to trust my hunger cues now. So I'm a big girl and I don't need you to call me out when I'm in the kitchen. Just let me do my thing." So whatever that looks like, we talk through, okay, what's a conversation? What's a productive, positive conversation we could have with this person that you can either set up a boundary with or enlist their support in a healthier, more helpful way?
That sounds very empowering. Mindful eating is very important to me, as well as intuitive eating. If you'd like to talk on either one of those.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's actually a really common question that I get is, do I support and teach intuitive eating? Yes and no. No, in that I do have pretty clear opinions and information on what food is most supportive, right? So I do, intuitive eating tends to say, eat whatever your body wants. So I do think it's helpful to educate ourselves about different types of food and what makes them different and how do they interact with our bodies. And then I love kind of combining whole food plant-based nutrition with intuitive eating. So I love inviting people to tap into their intuition and, again, to take their power back. Instead of asking, "Is this okay to eat?" ask, "Is this what my body wants to eat today? Would this support my body today? How is this going to feel?" Right? So I love helping my clients tap into their intuition. And I think it might drive them a little crazy sometimes, because when you hire someone to help you with something, you sometimes think that their job is to give you all the answers. But as a trained coach, I believe my job is not a consultant. My job is not to tell you what to do. My job is to help you explore your next best steps, which is going to be different for Maya than it is for Susie. And it's going to be different for Susie than it is for Jennifer. So often when a client asks me a question, I will first ask it right back to them. "Well, how would that feel to you? How do you think that would feel if you made that adjustment of having a smoothie every morning for breakfast instead of oatmeal? How does your body feel with that idea?" So we tap into that a lot.
And thank you, Danielle, for clarifying. I eat when I'm hungry and I stop when my body feels satisfied. You also talk about having sort of like a wellness blueprint. So you help and guide your clients towards creating like this vision for themselves. And I love that because, again, we go back to the power of the mind of visualizing ourselves if we didn't have these obsessions about food.
Yes, the blueprint process is one of my favorite parts of the coaching that I do. And my clients always walk away feeling excited and inspired and also very seen and very heard, because the blueprint that we create is so incredibly unique to them. It is a collaborative document, and it is their vision. It is their areas of focus. It is their habit goals. And I'm just there to guide. Sometimes they need a little suggesting, but most of it is it's them. It's a document that they can come back to and remember why they want to do things differently. And what I mean by that is embracing the lifestyle approach to their health journey rather than going back to the dieting. So it helps them feel very grounded.
I feel like in the process of doing that, you're helping to manifest the life that you want. It's so beautiful.
There's a huge aspect to that. One of my favorite books, I don't know if you've come across this one. This is called The Jackrabbit Factor.
No.
Leslie Householder. I love her book so much. It's like, especially for people that believe in God, bringing the law of attraction into their faith. And I'm a faith-based person, and I love the things that she teaches in that book. And I actually integrate a lot of it into my blueprint and the vision process that I have my people do. And they find it really helpful. So it's a great process. Okay.
I'm a heavy reader. And I said to myself, one day I should just ask every guest if there is a book that you recommend, because that's how I then continue to add more to my library. So yes, and I like that you mentioned your faith and also the law of attraction, because there's so much healing I feel that can happen as a result of the way that you teach. Are you doing group coaching?
You know, I have a new adventure on the horizon for me. So I have recently discontinued my group coaching in my private practice. However, that is being filled by a new adventure in the form of a corporate wellness company that my husband and I have started. So we are now offering health and wellness coaching to small business owners and their team as an addition to their benefits package.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So it is called Advanced Corporate Wellness. The website is acwcoaching.com. We're very, very excited. We recently relocated to the Pacific Northwest. We're living in Oregon City, just outside of Portland now. So I've been networking and pounding the pavement to share this message of health and wellness. And there might be a little bit of a plant-based bias in there when I can get it in there, but excited to bring this to kind of a larger audience. You know, when I'm working in a private practice, it's one-to-one, right? And each new person that I meet, I get to change that one person's life, which I love. And now I also get to meet one person that has a law firm or that runs a dental office, and I get to change 10 people's lives. So I'm very, very excited about it.
Congratulations. So are you saying that you'll be the one that still comes in and works with these businesses to help then their employees to adopt this way of this lifestyle?
So the focus will be providing individual health and wellness coaching to each member of their team. And initially, I will be doing all of the coaching, but I have a whole network of other coaches that have the same credentials as I do, the National Board credentials for health and wellness coaching. And we will be contracting with them. They will be our coaches under ACW and providing that individual coaching to businesses.
So you've taken what has worked for your clients and you're going to offer it on a larger scale and possibly even train some of your coaches?
Absolutely. Yeah. There will be an ACW way of doing things within the scope of practice that we've all been trained in anyway. I don't know how much of the plant-based nutrition will be part of the program or the curriculum, but I'm excited to see where that might fit in when people are open to it. So it'll kind of be on a case-to-case basis. But here in the Pacific Northwest, people are pretty open to plant-based eating out here. It's actually been really fun being out in this area.
That's wonderful. It reminds me of other organizations that invest in their employees' health and wellness.
Yes.
I'm a dog mom now, and I met another woman at the dog park recently, and we were talking about health plans for our dogs, and she said that her employer has a plan or includes coverage for her animal, for her dog.
Wow. That's awesome.
I know. I never heard of that. And I thought to myself, I didn't say this to her, but I'm thinking it's because people are understanding the role that animals play in our lives and in our mental health. It's wonderful that more and more employers are beginning to invest this way in their employees and understanding that they can offer support.
Yeah, it's moving in that direction. You know, we are seeing more and more companies including some form of mental health support in their benefits packages. And, you know, my vision is that health and wellness coaching will soon be a part of that standard of care in those benefits as well. Because when we can, as you know, I know you're very passionate about lifestyle medicine, Maya, when we can partner each individual with a health and wellness coach, it becomes proactive and preventative rather than just giving them really good health care, which is really, we know, is a sick care model. So it's an exciting movement. And I think we're gonna see this become more and more of the standard.
But I wonder how many employers, how many businesses foster a certain environment that is not necessarily helping their employees.
Yeah. And won't it be great to start to see more and more companies like ours and others bring a little bit more of a mindfulness and an awareness to it? How can we support our people in feeling great rather than just placating them with sugar?
Right. Exactly. And if you're feeling great, then you're more likely than as a company to participate in other challenges and physical activities that make you feel proud of who you are. And I mean, that just helps to build relationships, I think. So what other things would you like to share with our listeners? I think that you have such a great program. Are you still then working, though, as you're moving into this new venture? Will you still be seeing clients?
Absolutely. There's a very special place in my heart for the, like I said, this, my favorite people to work with in my private practice are those that are women, recovering dieters that have explored plant-based nutrition, but have not been able to find a way to help it work for them. So absolutely, yes. I don't know that I will ever be able to let go of my private practice. And so the book is available on Amazon. You can go to the website, ifdietsdontworkwhatdoes.com. You can check out my coaching practice at danielledinkelman.com. And, you know, if anyone is listening and they say, wow, I don't know that I want to or am able to invest in a health and wellness coach myself, but maybe my employer would be open to it, go to acwcoaching.com.
Are you saying that anyone, if they're interested, no matter where they're located, they might be able to get their employer to,
yes,
to reach out to you?
So the coaching that I do in my private practice and in my corporate wellness company is over the phone. And especially in the Zoom era that we live in, we are open to working with small business owners all over the country.
Well, we'll include your links in the show notes, but then if employers are interested, then they reach out to you personally, or you have a particular link for that as well.
Yes. Yeah. ACWcoaching.com. Okay. There's an email form right there. You can reach me right there.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share that I might have forgotten to ask?
I think we've covered the most important message that I have for women is take your power back. take your ownership of your health journey and start opening your eyes to see where you've given that away without realizing it. You know, kind of back to the analogy of the fish, there's a quote I heard once that says, you know, fish discover water last. we don't realize we're swimming in it. And I think there's things that you have available to you of your strengths, your talents, your ideas, mm-hmm, that could serve you very well in your health journey So making it individual to you is one of the best things that we can do. You know, I work with a variety of women and they all have different personalities and they all have different interests and backgrounds. And some of them are stay-at-home mothers. Some of them are career women. Some of them are a hybrid of the two. And so if we look at our individual lives and really try to ask, what could a healthy lifestyle look like for me that is doable and that is enjoyable, then you can't go wrong. Pull out a journal and explore it. Really think through that of what that might look for you. Grab a copy of the book if you need a little bit of help. And I'm more than happy to visit with people that are interested in taking that lifestyle approach instead of the dieting.
Thank you, Danielle, for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Maya. I always love talking with you.
You've been listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast with your host, Maya Acosta. If you've enjoyed this podcast, do us a favor and share with one friend who can benefit from this episode. Feel free to leave an honest review as well at ratethispodcast.com/HLS. This helps us to spread our message. And as always, thank you for being a listener.